This is Jeannie Boyle, getting ready to record Molly Ames on her memories of Charlie River.
So Molly, can you tell me a little bit about your parents as you grew up in the Charlie River area?
So I'm here today with Molly Ames to speak with her about her life on the Charlie River with her parents. Molly, can you tell me a little background about who your parents were and their family history?
Well, you know my dad is Al Ames.
Yes.
And he came from Nebraska, Dorchester, Nebraska. He came to Alaska when he was 35. No, he came when he was 20.
20? Okay.
But then he was a merchant marine.
Mm-hmm.
So he was here and gone, here and gone.
Uh-huh.
Until he met my mom. That's a picture of her up there.
Oh.
On the right.
Oh, I see. It's beautiful. Where did he meet her?
He met her in Portugal.
Oh, I see.
During the summer of 1940. She's from Chalkeetsik. Her name was Nina Henry. Paul Henry's daughter.
Oh, I see. I've heard of him. So they met in Fort Yukon?
They met in 1940, and she went with him to Charlie River. When she came back, when they came back in 41, she and my dad stayed with my grandpa in Chalkeetsik for maybe two or three years. And then we went back to, no, it's more than that, 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Because my brother, Daniel, was born on Bull River. That's a tributary of Black River.
Oh, Bull River?
Yeah.
Oh. What year was he born?
42.
Mm. How many children were in your family, Molly?
Seven.
Okay. Wow. You were the oldest?
Yeah.
Boy, you had a lot of work to do, didn't you?
Oh. It's like raising
your
own family.
Yeah.
So my there were, in those days, there was a lot of race hate.
Mm-hmm.
They hated the white people.
Yeah.
So my dad took us all back to Charlie River.
A lot of prejudice, huh?
Lots of hate.
Was that because they felt like the white people were taken over, or they were mistreated?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I was 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah, it's the way it was.
All I knew is that they hated my dad.
Huh.
And they hated us.
That's so sad.
Well, that's the way it was.
Yeah.
So we spent until 1948, the year that those two pictures were taken, living on Charlie River. My dad trapped between the Bonanza Creek cabin and Mom's cabin at the mouth of Charlie River.
Mm-hmm.
He fished for salmon during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You had two fish worlds, one on the little island and another one.
I've been to that island this summer. I know where you mean.
Yeah.
It's still there, too, that little island.
Yeah, we camped there on the island in the summer.
Nice breeze blowing. Not so much mosquitoes. I won't say there weren't any, but it was better than in the woods, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember how it was up at the cabin. They had a garden, big garden.
Was that at the cabin at the mouth?
Yeah. The cabin of Bonanza Creek just became a trapline cabin for my dad.
Now, was that a different cabin than Phil Braille had, or was that one of Phil Braille's?
My dad built it.
Yeah, he built that one.
Phil Braille, he built little bitty cabins.
Little tiny, huh?
That you had to crawl into.
Yeah, I've heard that. Very small, in the dirt.
I know our life there was good. It was like living in a cathedral.
Yeah.
The country was so beautiful.
It is beautiful up there.
And there were ducks and geese, salmon,
food,
gravy. Bears.
Did you ever have bear problems at the cabin?
Oh, yeah.
They took me looking for food, huh?
I think they came in, it was more of a...
Curious.
They didn't come looking for food.
Just curious.
No, it was a territorial
thing
between my dad and the bears. They did... Learned to respect him, though, after he shot one.
Oh, and they start leaving him alone?
Not exactly.
They
didn't bother anything. They just
let him know that they were there.
They made their presence known.
Yeah, they do that.
Yep, very bear-like.
Do you guys have a greenhouse? Or just a
no,
garden?
Just a garden and a cache. We would have, in the late 40s, the statehood movement began. And the federal marshal came to our eddy in this big plane. Boy, I thought it was big. And threatened my family. Either get us into school or they would take us away.
Ooh.
That picture was when my dad was coming to Fairbanks because he wasn't going to take us to the village because of the hate.
Yeah.
So he came. He came to Fairbanks and found a job. That was the year my sister was born, in 48.
Mm-hmm.
She was born in Circle.
What was her name?
Geraldine.
Geraldine? Is she still living?
Oh, yeah.
And where does she live?
She lives in Oklahoma.
Really? Have you seen her recently, or do you stay in touch with her?
We stay in touch. She was up here to visit 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, that's nice.
She wanted me to come down, but traveling is just too hard for me.
Yeah.
I know. It's difficult. My dad was had all kinds of health problems, and he liked to travel, but toward the end, he just couldn't do it because that's when they started making you take your shoes off, and he's like, I can't do this. It's pretty hard. So Geraldine was born in 1948 in Circle. Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Fairbanks.
Do you remember staying in Circle for the summer while your dad was getting a job?
It wasn't the whole summer.
Just until he could get you guys over there.
Yeah. We came to Fairbanks in the back of a freight truck.
Was that with maybe Morris O'Leary? Freighter, maybe?
I met him at the Eagles Club.
Really?
Several years ago. Huh. And he told me the story about coming to Fairbanks. Boy, that's when I learned about race aid.
Yeah. It was worse in Fairbanks?
It was worse. By the time I was 14, 15, I began to see signs on the doors of businesses in Fairbanks. No natives allowed.
Oh, man. That's sad. But, you know.
That's the way it was.
That's the way it turned out.
Elaine Evans, and Delaine Long.
Now. Oh, yeah, I know her.
She and I, when we were 15, and our Saturdays used to be going shopping in downtown Fairbanks, and we got ourselves a stiff upper lip, and we marched into that business, and there was only one table open, so we sat down. You could have heard a pin drop.
And
nobody, natives came in, and the waitress wouldn't wait on us. And so someone came from the kitchen and had, you know, their little dad and asked us what we want. We want a cherry Coke. So we sat there and drank our cherry Coke, and
like nobody's business, huh?
Nobody said anything.
Well, you're tough to do that. Look at that snowstorm out there.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it just started.
It started.
So, your dad, where did he work in Fairbanks?
He worked, well, first summer, he worked on a underground project, putting pipes and stuff in under the streets.
Oh, for like water or sewer or something?
I was 7 years old.
Yeah, something.
And then he worked for the power plant down there on First Avenue. And then he worked on Ladd Air Force Base at the power plant.
Oh. What part of Fairbanks did you live? Fairbanks was so small then, I suppose. There wasn't much to it.
Our first summer we spent in Hamilton Acres, where he bought a lot and wanted to build. And then we lived on Wickersham. Mm. 504 Wickersham. And the sad part, The native people used to come to Fairbanks from the village. And my mom was so lonely because nobody would speak to her. She was a native.
Oh, man.
And so when they came, she went with them. And they went to the bars. So my dad moved us out by the university.
Trying to lay out of town?
That's what he was trying to do. But he had to move closer. Move down by the fairgrounds. Because it was too hard for him to get to work.
He's kind of way far out in those days. Especially winter time. So then you moved over by, you said the fairgrounds?
Johnson Subdivision.
Okay. How many children were there, all seven born by then, at that time then?
Six.
Six.
I lost a sister. She died while we were still on Charlie River.
Oh. What did she die from, do you remember?
I don't know. I was
this small.
I was a child.
Yeah. So maybe, hard to say.
I
think Al said that, huh? She's buried up there.
Yes.
At the Bonanza Creek?
No.
At the Charlie River Cabin? Be nice to go find her grave and mark it. It must have been really hard on you, your mom too. When
it was on my mom.
Yeah, the baby died up there. And it would be hard to lose a child if you lived there. Anybody that loses a child, it's hard. But when you're isolated,
you do what you have to do.
Yeah, that's right.
And she did. Well, anyway, after the marshals came and threatened my dad and mom, Dad started teaching us. So when I got to first grade, in, I guess it was 48, I was in first grade for maybe 2 weeks.
Huh.
And then the practice was to advance.
Mm-hmm.
So they advanced me to fourth grade.
Wow. How old were you at that time?
8 or 9.
Yeah, so you were like right on target. Pretty much. I mean, your dad must have taught you really well.
Well, I know other people who went through that same process.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were advanced to sixth grade, depending on their reading skills.
Yeah.
My dad taught me math.
He must have been a good mathematician. So did he, up at the Charlie River, have a little session with the kids every when he had time and sit them down?
The other kids. Look at the size of that kids.
Yeah, they were small, pretty small. So you were the oldest, so you got the most from him. The beautiful boots. Did your mom make those boots?
Yeah.
Boy, they're beautiful.
I remember when my dad caught that wolver.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The Wolverine?
They're bad. The Wolverine terrorized my dad's trap line.
Oh, yeah, they are bad for that, aren't they?
He took everything that he caught. So he went hunting for the wolverine. He caught him twice, and this wolverine chewed off his own paws to get loose. Finally, he had a marten trap set on a deadfall, and he surrounded this thing with traps. And when we came around the bend, I could see that wolverine. Boy, it was mad. But it was caught. It was caught. So my dad took it home, and Mom took care of it, and she made him those boots.
It looks like it was a really nice cabin, everything in the wood. This must have been a big cache or something back here with this.
No.
Yeah.
It's my mom's clothesline.
Oh.
And she's got things hanging on it.
Oh, I thought this dark part was a building. Right?
Okay. It's the trees.
Oh, I see. Huh.
No, because the cache is behind the cabin.
Do you have any other pictures of the cabin?
I have a couple.
Can I put this back up?
Yeah.
In the newspaper article about the crane.
Yeah.
He said he spotted some trees that were standing up like a runway, marking a runway. Was that something your dad did for a plane to land or for a drop, airdrop? Or?
Nope, plane.
You can keep that and read that, Molly.
I'd like to. Thank
you. Yeah, you're welcome. So, did he get airdrops of mail?
That's another story. That's why they called Phil Braille the postmaster. Because these mail drops, these pilots would just see someone on the ground and drop them the mail. And they expected those people to take it to the people
around there.
Yeah,
in the vicinity.
Phil Braille. He used to steam open the envelopes.
Man.
That's the way it was.
So
I thought when that book, Coming Into the Country, was written, I thought he was really polite by just calling him the postmaster of Woodchopper.
He wasn't postmaster for too long, according to the one information I was reading in Judge Wickersham's book. He said, oh, maybe about a year or winter, maybe longer, but they said in that 3-year period, according to the postal records, he was only the postmaster for a short time, but for the other 2 years, they didn't know who the postmaster was. So it probably was still him.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I know that my dad used to be so angry because he steamed open letters from his sister.
Oh, well, why he would want to do that? Oh, because there might have been money in there.
Yeah, and he was nosy.
Huh.
But I saw that. I saw the steamed open envelopes.
How often do you think you guys got mail up there when you were up at the Charlie River in the winter, like once a month or every couple months?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Time was not an issue.
Yeah, right.
No, when,
it's whenever you had mail.
When you're 6 and 7 years old.
Yeah.
Time is not an issue.
Yeah. Where did your dad get his staple supplies from? Did he like go to Fort Yukon or Circle or Eagle?
He He took his furs to Fort Yukon. And then he ordered our winter supplies. And they came on the Cusco, the boat from Eagle.
That must be an exciting day when the supplies would arrive. That'd be a big pile of food. Yeah. People got by with a lot less a long time ago.
They had their garden. They fished and they hunted.
I know Charlie Kidd pretty well from living up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to bring him to Fairbanks once in a while to go shopping. He'd come to Circle. And I'd drive him to Fairbanks.
Yeah.
And I always would tell my husband, my first husband, man, that guy, he's so easy to shop with because he only makes two stops. He goes to the, remember there was a hardware, a gun shop downtown on 2nd Avenue. I forgot the name of it. It was next to, there was a bar next to it. Some sporting goods store. He'd buy a couple cases of 22 shells. And then I'd take him to the grocery store. He'd get rice, coffee, a couple other little items, salt, and maybe we went three stops. Because we had to go to Samson Hardware and he'd buy a bunch of candles, maybe mm-hmm. 5 gallon of kerosene if he had the money. You know, that guy toughed it out with nothing. We asked him, how do you read? He said he opens his stove door, sit there with his book or light. Because he'd never buy enough candles to get through the winter. But he liked reading material, so.
Is he the one now that lived in the Bonanza Creek cabin?
I think he might have lived there one winter, but he ended up at the mouth in a little hovel.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. He got kind of crazy up there.
That's what I heard, too.
He was alone for many years, and I used to bring him to town. He used to wear big furry fur clothes. And he'd say, well, this dog died, so I made this. You know, it's hard to believe, but he came out of there, and he's kind of straightened up, and he works for the state. Yeah.
My goodness.
I never thought it would happen, because he was so rough. His mom and his sister drove from the East Coast. Well, his mom is from Idaho, his sister from the East Coast. They drove up in a motorhome one summer, and they wanted to visit with him, but boy, he was kind of wild. He'd just been alone for too long, and he acted kind of wacky.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, but he came out of that. He works, he spent a couple of years down in, past Delta Glen Allen area working for a state in a summer job on the highway. Then last year he worked in another, someplace else, but I saw him this fall. He's just fine.
That's good to hear.
Yeah. We used to go visit him when he was living up there, and we used to go in the springtime. He always wanted to cook for us, but I told him, no, Charlie, you don't need to cook for us. He had moose meat hanging. Didn't have about that much mold on there.
Ooh.
But he cut the mold off and have the inside, but I didn't want to eat it, and I didn't want my kids eating it. Because I didn't know how long he had to be in there. He always treated me really nice, though. He's a good guy. He had a good heart. And then we always talk when we see him and reminisce about the old days. But he did get a little wacky up there.
do you know Robin?
Robin Renfro, yes,
yeah.
Yep. She's my first husband, Jackie Boyle's cousin, so I'm pretty close to her.
Robin? She's married to Charlie Boulding?
Oh, that Robin.
Yes.
I do know that Robin, too. My husband used to fish down here, well, kind of, with Charlie Stevens. No, he's from Minto. Titus Jr. He's real good buddies with Charlie Titus Jr. So they used to come down here in fall time when Charlie Titus had dog team and he had net or fish wheel or something going on. So I'm pretty familiar with the Titus family. I also taught in Minto for 3 years. So I know those Titus people. They're good people. So, you guys lived in Fairbanks, and then did you stay there till you went through school, or?
After my dad died.
When was that?
54.
1954?
On his grave marker, it says 56.
But it was wrong. What happened to him?
He had a heart attack.
Heart problem. Your kids were pretty young that time, huh? That was rough.
I was
13.
The last winter that we spent on Charlie River, the wolves that follow the porcupine caribou herd, they laid siege to our cabin. There were nights that, well, my dad couldn't trap, couldn't hunt, and there were nights that they built fires around the cabin because the wolves came right in. No, in fact, one late, well, it was late for me, they came in and they were having tea. And I had a little tiny hole poked in me in the moss, the insulation.
Between the logs?
Yeah. And I was looking out there and I could see the wolf's eyes in the firelight. And I put my eye right up to that hole and I was looking at it. And a wolf came snipping along. He went and blew in my eye.
Oh, goodness. Oh, that's close.
That scared me.
I bet. I remember Frank Warren, who owned a trading post up in Circle,
yeah.
Him and his wife Mary. When I first moved in the area was in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I married my first husband, Jackie Boyle. He told me in the springtime, well, he had a lot of wolf pelts hanging in his trading post. And I asked him, well, how come you got all these wolf pelts? He said, well, if I didn't have that wolf pelt, there wouldn't be a moose in the country. Well, you know, he's kind of the kind of guy that he knew how to do business, and he knew the tourists would buy those wolf pelts.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was so much, there was a lot of traffic up there at that time because it was the end of the road. There wasn't a pipeline route. So I sort of thought at the time, oh, maybe he just saying that, but him and Ed Galvin used to go out every spring and shoot wolves on the airplane up by Charlie River,
mm-hmm.
And they would get a lot, like, I would say 30 or 40 every spring. He would have just a big wall in a cafe covered. He'd send them out and get them tanned, and I think he hired some of the boys around Circle to skin them. They'd just bring them home and the boys would skin them, you know, and he'd give them a bottle or whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the winter that the wolves surrounded us, because my dad couldn't hunt and couldn't trap, My mom couldn't run a snare line.
Yeah.
Couldn't hunt for chickens. My dad, from the cabin, he used to be able to see the Charlie River, where there was a little peninsula. And my dad went hunting, and he got a moose. And the wolves chased him. He put just what he could carry in his pack sack. And then when I saw him, he was running on snowshoes. And these wolves were fanned out behind him, chasing him.
Ready to get him, huh? Man, he must have been booking on those snowshoes.
Yeah, he was. But that's where his health started to fail.
There's a lot of stress, too. You know.
Well, and the family was starving.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of stress.
That is a lot of stress.
On a guy, you know.
Yeah, and that's, you know.
That same winter, because of the pressure on the moose, a calf, barely a year old, was following my dad's trail, toboggan trail, and it walked right into our yard. My dad couldn't bring himself to shoot it. You know, they have strong attitudes about some things. So my mom shot it.
Your mom said, well, I gotta do this.
Funny thing about that was there was no bullet hole in the calf.
Really?
It just dropped dead. And I watched my dad skin that thing, head and all. He skinned everything. No bullet hole.
Isn't that a mystery, huh? Maybe your mom missing it so close it just shocked it to death.
I don't know. I know.
That is something. A bullet hole.
Yeah, my mom was, she was a good marksman.
Good shooter.
When the geese came in the spring, they'd be out there following the river, and she could see them, and she would be calling them, and they'd come and they'd fly right over the cabin.
Boom.
She stood there, boom, and it just went
dropped
in the yard, and it was flopping around, and she went over there and she put her foot on its neck, and it was just beating her up with his wings.
She wasn't going to let it go, though.
No, she looked at my dad. She said, Al, do something.
But he laughed, ran over there.
He did, he laughed. He went over there and shot it.
Was that a shotgun she used?
No, she used the 22.
And you gotta be good with a 22 to shoot a goose flying. I don't think I could do that. I'm not that good at this. Well, I'm a pretty good shot, but not that good at flying goose with a 22.
Secret is to get him in the wing.
Yeah.
And then just go.
They go pretty fast to bite me, though. So after your dad passed away, did you guys still stay out there in your College Road?
But the family fell apart.
Yeah.
My brothers ended up being mischief.
Yeah.
I got busted for a curfew violation. And I went, they sent me to hospitality house. And Mabel Rasmussen sent me to Sheldon Jackson.
Really? Down in Sitka. That's a long ways away from home. We did rough down there.
I was tough.
My mom was born and raised in Sitka. Her last name was DeArmond.
I don't know the name.
She was born in 1919. And probably about the time you were down there, she was in nursing school, maybe.
Yeah. Excuse me, I need to.
Oh! Hey, Jeff, where's Grandpa? Let me talk to him. Hey, Dad. You could cancel that Max. I want to get back in time. Tell him we'll come Sunday. Can you call him? It's on the table by the desk. All right, bye. Sheldon Jackson School then on like a college? What kind of school was it, Molly?
High school.
High school? So you stayed at Sheldon Jackson School for quite a while?
2-3 years.
2-3 years.
When I turned 18, they sent me home. Because my dad's Social Security was cut off.
Oh, I see. So you went back to Fairbanks?
Yeah.
Must have been very difficult to go back and see your family.
They were all scattered.
Scattered, yeah. Were there any children still with their mom?
No.
They had all been gone to this place and sent to this place and that place.
Two youngest were adopted. They were adopted out.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get to see them?
I found them. When the land claim happened?
Yes.
I remember trying to find them, and the Mrs. Pugh, I don't know what her job was, but she wouldn't tell me where they were. So when the land claim happened, I found them.
Were they able to escape or in state?
They were in Washington.
Oh. Were they adopted by the same family or?
Sort of.
Sort of.
Yeah, they were adopted as brother and sister.
So did they eventually get hooked into the land claims?
Well, of course.
That's good. Do you have contact with them?
Well, of course.
Oh, good. You know, sometimes after people get adopted out, they don't really care to know they're their family, but other people do, and it's great when they do. So do they still live down in Washington?
My youngest brother died in an auto accident, but I'm in contact with his children and his grandchildren.
What was his name?
His adopted name was James Buck. His given name was Robert Allen Ames.
I think it was a happy day when you first were able to find him. And was his sister in that family too?
They were adopted as brother and sister. She was married and had three girls. That's a picture of her up there.
Oh, who that was. So those are your, like...
Those are my nieces.
And they all live in Washington? Or in the lower 48?
Oh, let's see. Kaylin lives, I think it's North Carolina. She's a science and math teacher for 5th and 6th grade. And Angela, she's a social science teacher in the 8th grade. In Oklahoma.
Oh.
And let's see, Michelle, I think she's going to school. Oh. Her husband died and left her with little kids.
Oh, yes. That's so good.
She's a strong girl.
Yeah, sometimes we have to face hard things in our lives, that's for sure. I wanted to ask you, I did a little research, I wanted to ask you if you ever remember hearing about any of these roadhouses, and they're from long ago, so starting from Eagle, about 24 miles out of Eagle was a roadhouse called the Star Roadhouse.
I've got to move.
Okay. Let me know if I do get tired or anything. I can come back if you want.
I simply have to move.
Okay.
Since I was recovering from this fracture, I need to exercise.
Yeah. I get stiff from just driving. There was a place called the Star Roadhouse.
I don't remember that
okay.
one.
Okay. Montauk Roadhouse.
I don't remember that one.
Nation River Roadhouse. That was 14 miles above Charlie River, I believe.
I know where that is.
Yeah, the Nation. Were there any people staying there, do you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't go around visiting.
Right. You just stay in one place. It also mentioned
Charlie River Roadhouse, Chief Charlie of the Charlie River, lived there at some time, and then moved to Eagle area. So we don't know. I don't have much information about that.
There's another roadhouse. Oh, I can't remember the name. It's one that the Park Service.
Slavin?
Slavin's Cabin.
Slavin's Cabin, yep. I've been there many times.
Yeah, I've been there.
It's still standing. They actually repaired all the rotten logs and jacked it up and fixed it up, so it's pretty much like it was back in the day. It's a really nice cabin. It's big.
Yeah, I remember I was there.
And then there was another roadhouse at Woodchopper, Weber's Roadhouse, and then Johnson Roadhouse.
The only one I remember is Slavin's.
Yeah. What about this Sandy Johnson? Who was he?
I don't know who he was. I just know his name.
Yeah.
And I've seen him. And my dad used to visit with him.
Yeah. Did he come up to the Charlie River, or did
your
dad visit?
No, my dad went over there.
Maybe when he was going to Fort Yukon, I just went.
When he had to deliver mail.
Yeah, my husband thinks that his grandpa was named after Sandy Johnson, because his name was Sandy Roberts,
mm-hmm.
And nobody could ever figure out where he got that name. And so they started thinking, doing a little research, they think that's who he was named after, but nobody really knows. Sandy wasn't really a name used by Native people,
no.
You know. It's mostly Bible names they had. So, they're thinking maybe he was named after this Sandy Johnson. He had a roadhouse that was about 22 miles above Circle, I believe, somewhere in that area.
When I met him, he had a cabin outside, just a few miles upstream from Woodchopper.
Oh.
A little cabin. Oh, I mean, little. Was big enough for him, that's all he needed.
Yeah. Was he trapping up near there, or
I don't know what he did.
Living up there.
Those were the days when children were to be seen and not heard.
Yep. So
that
was the rule.
Mm-hmm.
And you better be quiet or you didn't get in trouble. Yeah.
I never got in trouble.
No, probably not. You probably were well behaved. So after your brothers and sisters were sent away, was that before your mom passed away, or?
Yeah.
Garden potatoes and just the regular old vegetables?
Potatoes, carrots, turnips, cabbage. things that kept well.
Yeah. Did you guys have a root cellar or someplace to store them in, under the cabin?
Under the cabin.
I remember Charlie's grandpa had a root cellar and they had a big garden. Boy, that thing would be full in the fall time. They put all their cabbages and he put his carrots in the sand. He had a big box and he put sand in there, put all the carrots in there and covered it with sand. Mm. Kept really crisp all winter. And then they had, I suppose these ordered seeds probably. Your dad would order some seeds. Is that how they got the...
I was a child.
Yeah.
They didn't talk over with us about ordering seeds. Or we didn't worry about it.
Yeah. That's a beautiful parka you have. Did you make that parka?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's very nice.
Was made by an Inupiaq person.
Beautiful. Very nice. I have a parka that was my mom's that she had made from muscat skins.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't quite fit me. I'm a little too chunky. It zipped it up. I really appreciate your time here today, Molly. Could I come back again sometime?
Well, certainly.
Oh, that would be wonderful.